Friends, I'm happy to announce that Straight Talk has partnered with Blue Line Roasting Company to bring you delicious coffee to enjoy while you listen to this podcast. Blue Line Roasting Company also serves our first responders by giving a portion of all net proceeds to numerous organizations who support them. Order today at BlueLineRoasting.com. That's BlueLineRoasting.com. And don't forget, when you join the Straight Shooter VIP Club, you'll receive a free coffee sample and a mug, plus invitations to private podcast events.
26 officers lost their lives while on duty in 2022.
Blue lives matter in America.
What do we do? Remember, the question was, this is a challenge to you. I'm going to challenge this audience a lot because I need fighters. Remember my column that I read that I wrote in 2018 for townhall.com, and I was a contributing writer for townhall.com, wanted new conservative fighters? Just put that in a search engine, look it up if you forgot, and read it. I laid it out right there. We don't have fighters, I said. Looking at this crop of Republicans and some of these blowhard talking heads, they're useless. What we need is a ground level force, I said, unlike we've ever seen. Grassroots, bottom up, not top down. Not these Republican leaders down who basically turn their nose up at us at grassroots level. We need fighters and we need them fast. I said, we need to mobilize quickly. Because, I'm not going to say that the Republic is slipping away from us. The Republic is gone. All it comes down to now is how we're going to get it back. So one of the things that we have to learn how to do, and I laid it out in that, but we're going to walk through it again in that article, Wanted New Conservative Fighters. We have to learn how to resist at ground level, peacefully. There's a way to do it where you're basically taunting the government because the government knows, well, we can't really crush this thing because it won't look good on the world stage. If the government is beating and killing its own citizens who are protesting under the First Amendment, it will not look good and they know it. So we got to count on that. I support civil disobedience. That's peaceful. But you got to be willing to go to jail. It's just going to be temporary if it's peaceful because you won't move. The biggest mistake that the January 6th group, remember I said that was neither serious, well thought out, or well organized. You must be organized. Everywhere I go, the first step, people say, what should we do? What can we do, Sheriff? Organize, organize, organize. You must be organized. You must have a plan. And the first thing you must do before you go out and operationalize the plan, you have to build a critical mass of people to go along with you. You can't do it with a couple hundred people. It won't work. You want to overwhelm government's ability to be able to contain this thing. You want to overwhelm government resources. So if you only got a couple hundred, hell, they just bring 1,000 cops down. That's the end of that. When you show up with 10,000 people like they did in Sri Lanka, where 250,000 people, citizens of Sri Lanka, surrounded the presidential palace. And when you see some of the protests going on in France, millions, they're protesting the changes in their Social Security. Millions. That's a critical mass. 50 people is not a critical mass. A couple dozen, a couple hundred is not a critical mass. So you have to be patient. It's going to take time. You're going to have to message effectively to get people to develop the nerve to say, yeah, I want to be part of this. Piss on it. So you have to start with that.
And there's a way to on how to effectively resist. First of all, you have to take to the street. You cannot do this, ladies and gentlemen, simply from behind a keyboard posting on social media. That's a tactic you can use, but that's only one tactic, and it's just part of it. This has to happen in the streets. 250,000 surrounding the presidential palace in Sri Lanka and had to airlift the president out of there. That's taking to the streets. This can't be done in a think tank. All of these know-it-alls, the Bill Kristols and all those goofs, from inside the safe space of a think tank or going into a TV studio. That's not where this thing is going to get done. It's not where it's going to be won. Think of the civil rights movement. It started in the church, but they had to take it to the streets to make it more effective. You can't do this from inside the church, talking about how wrongs, you know, the discrimination. Yeah, I know, but you know what? There's only a few people there. When they took it to the streets, now all of America could see. When King was peacefully marching, all of America was looking. People joined in. And when the police were turning water cannons and sicking dogs on peaceful protesters, the American viewers vomited. They couldn't believe this. For peaceful protesters. But they had large numbers, huge marches. Peaceful. I want to keep saying that. And I hearken back to the January 6th crowd. Excuse me. There was no need to breach the Capitol. There just wasn't. They had the right idea, but they weren't well thought out. They weren't organized. And they didn't really have a plan. So it wasn't well planned. All they needed to do was take the, you know, few hundred people, however many showed up, I don't know, and just get near the Capitol. Stay outside. In the places around the Capitol, and there are a lot of them, the public's allowed. Rally, marches, speeches. There was no need to go inside the Capitol. That's where they turned America against them. So it blew up in their faces. You know, this thing was led by a couple of goofs anyway, and the guy with the horns and what, you know, that's not serious. So I come across this article. I've had this thing for a long time. This goes back to 2021. June of 2021, I used this at a speaking event I was at to give people an idea of how to resist effectively. I pulled it out for this podcast. I don't need to reinvent the wheel. Somebody already invented the wheel. I'm just going to use the wheel. So I'm going to read some sections on this, and then we're going to go into this thing operationalized. It happened in Nevada, and you'll probably recognize when I read from that story how this went down. And don't forget, that was from back in, I don't know, 2018 maybe, but we'll get to that. So here, Stu Cervic, redstate.com, how to resist effectively. It says here, to rule over and simply acquiesce to this nonsense, and that's this Democrat movement, is unthinkable. But what passes for Republican leadership in Congress these days is timid, feckless, and disorganized, which is why I said you cannot count on your elected representatives in Congress to do anything for you. We need a grassroots, bottom-up resistance movement. While they can and should be constantly pressured to take action and to at least institute a coordinated and consistent media campaign, they cannot be relied upon to reverse the Democrats' push toward full-fledged socialism and communism. It's long past time for everyone who wishes to preserve the Republic to take concrete actions, and that means doing so at the local level. There is no need, ladies and gentlemen, for everybody to rush to Washington, D.C. This should happen within your own community, within your own state, and grow it. So it says here, the communication networks established at the local level are the means by which Democrat media can be bypassed. Let me stop there. Stop whining about CNN, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and how the liberal media, you know, they're not helping us and they're not objective. No, they're on the left side. They've been co-opted. But there's a way to get around that. So it says here, yes, we can resist and we can do so productively. Nonviolent resistance is both possible and effective, and success breeds success. Let me say that again. Nonviolent resistance is both possible and effective. Nonviolent protests have been successfully used by the left to achieve their political goals. We can do it better. What is required is organized persistence, patience, and tactics that can make a difference. Simple stuff, including a basic understanding of the concept of active resistance and passive resistance. Methodologies that can be applied in neighborhoods, precincts, churches, and local civics organizations. So then it goes through here. It goes through some of the tactics. There's a difference between tactics and strategy. Remember I said, yeah, social media, okay, that's a tactic. That's not a strategy. So they talk about using flyers, includes the use of accusatory text that puts the left on a defensive. And what else they got here? Leaflets. Cameras everywhere. Encourage conservatives to have a smartphone or camera at hand and caption record every situation in which a leftist actor is out of line. Download and disseminate the files with context to conservative and liberal media sites and social media. Catch every little asinine, contemptible, illegal act the left-wing activists engage in. See, you can get around the New York Times and the Washington Post and CNN. So it goes through here and some other things that can be done. Scouting-like programs. Support neighborhood clubs, social organizations, and churches that promote old-school freedoms. So there's a way to do this. It's grassroots. It's ground level. All it takes, it says here, is a little organization, a little ingenuity tailored to local conditions and a few highly motivated people. Run for some of these offices, or at least actively find and support candidates who are constitutional conservatives with a goal of getting rid of all crackpot lefties and rhinos, it says. Get rid of them. So that's just kind of like the Reader's Digest of the model of effectively resisting. That's what we're going to have to do. Stop your whining and stop your bitching. And start to organize, build a critical mass. It's going to take time. It's going to take a little money. But basically what it takes is determination. See, we give up too easy. What the January 6th people should have done, if they really felt they needed to march to the Capitol. I don't know that they had to do that. They could have stayed at the mall where speeches were being given and then just stay there. But even, let's say, okay, they marched to the Capitol. Stay outside of the Capitol. Set up a tent city. Just give the impression we ain't going anywhere. You got to play the long game politically. You can't do a one-day protest and then go home never to be heard from again. That's what the government is counting on. Well, just, you know, let them scream and holler a little bit. They'll be gone. They'll get hungry at the end of the day and they'll go home. It's not what the left does. You must let the government know. We're staying. Put up a tent city. And then bring in reinforcements. Because I know some people, you can't go in and spend, everyone can't spend 3, 4, 5 days there. You don't have to. Come in shifts. Okay, a new group of people coming in tomorrow at noon. Then you guys get to go home. Thanks, but, you know, stay close because we're going to need a rotation here. See, that's organization. I say you got to be organized. You got to have a critical mass of people. Because I know people have jobs and they can't do this all day and every day. I get it. So you need a rotation system of bringing in new people. Put up a tent city. Media will cover it. Trust me. Chants, bullhorns, speeches. That's how you do this. So now I want to give you an example of how this was effectively done by a Nevada rancher. You may remember the name Cliven Bundy. That's a cattle ranch out in Nevada. And basically, what happened was his cattle were grazing on federal land. And the federal government was trying to charge him for it. And he wouldn't pay the fees, whatever. He didn't recognize federal government. He's not a sovereign citizen. He said he recognizes states' rights and state rule. So this article here from Time Magazine, of all places, the armed rebellion on a Nevada cattle ranch could be just the start. Remember, I said this was like 2018? So it says, it could have been a catastrophe. For several days last week, hundreds of angry protesters faced off with federal workers on an arid ranch near Bunkerville, Nevada. Militiamen squatted among the sagebrush and crouched on a highway overpass, cradling guns and issuing barely veiled threats at the government officials massed behind makeshift barricades. The specter of a violent standoff hung over the high desert. The hair-trigger tension seemed at odds with the arcane origins of the dispute. And it goes into 20 years ago, the Bureau of Land Management, that's one of those agencies that needs to be abolished too, Bureau of Land Management. They decided to clear privately owned cattle off this patch of public lands to protect the endangered Mojave Desert tortoise. I never heard of such a thing. Dozens of ranchers left, but Cliven Bundy stayed. Bundy, 68, has refused to recognize federal authority over the land or to pay the fees for his cattle to graze there. So Bundy balked, and the far right-wing media sounded a clarion call for his cause. Building a critical mass, ladies and gentlemen. Casting the standoff as a flashpoint in a broader struggle against federal oppression. Because that's what the BLM is. Federal oppression. A cavalry of patriots arrived, bearing weapons and a seemingly bottomless grudge against the government. Build a critical mass. You can bring guns. That's peaceful. I know everybody, oh, what do they need to bring guns? Because it's your right. I didn't say you need armed protesters, but if they want to come, they get to do that. So on April 12th, BLM, Bureau of Land Management, retreated, abandoning the roundup amid serious concerns over the safety of federal employees. That's why I said if you build a critical mass and you do this right, it's well planned and it's serious, you will overwhelm government resources to be able to contain this. You got to overwhelm the resources. The BLM looked and said, holy crap, a couple thousand people out. It swelled. I think it got up to around 10,000. And they just kept showing up. More people just kept showing up. Hey, I got to be a part. Look what's going on over there. I want to be a part of it. And you know, this happened organically. Cliven Bundy didn't organize this. People were feeling it. They were tired of the oppression of the Bureau of Land Management. So it says here for the government, it's not clear what was lost. The decision to de-escalate the situation was a wise one, according to officials familiar with the perils posted by such confrontation. Remember, overwhelm government's ability to contain things. So it says, but prudence may also set a dangerous precedent. Having backed down from the recalcitrant rancher, what does BLM do next time another refuses to abide by the law? But see, if you build a critical mass of people and you're well organized, you're going to win these things. This is peaceful. There wasn't a shot. There were a lot of armed ranchers. Not a shot was fired. There's no need to engage in violence. So it says, I'm very concerned about that, as I'm sure others are, says Bob Abbey, a former BLM director and state director for Nevada. Nearly all ranchers whose animals graze on public land are in compliance with federal statutes. But there's always a chance that someone else may look at what happened with Mr. Bundy and decided to take a similar route. Let me put in a note here. I hope so. Back to the story. The BLM, listen to this. Why I said the BLM needs to be gone. The BLM manages more than 245 million acres of land, including about 60% of the territories across a swath of 12 western states. Now check this out. About 85% of the land in Nevada is managed by the feds. Why? It's state land. Why did we allow Bureau of Land Management to move in and take control over state land? Why? Why is the federal government managing lands out west? The only thing they should be concerned about is the federal district, Washington, D.C. So what should be concerned about? The states can run that. Every state has some sort of BLM. That's state parks, right? Trailways. States can handle that. We don't need the federal government. This is how government grows. You create these bureaucracies, the Bureau of Land Management, and the next thing you know, they're controlling 85% of land in Nevada. And why isn't Nevada pushing back on that and reclaiming that? Don, the feds, get the hell out of here. We'll manage this federal park, the, you know, all these things that the feds will come up with. Well, we need national parks. We need, the states will take care of it. So it says here, former BLM director says, eventually you have to draw the line. We go through these sad episodes where fanaticism, that's not fanaticism. See, when we do it, it's fanaticism. When the left does it, oh, it's just peaceful protest. I mean, they call rioting peaceful protest. But ours is fanaticism. And like I said, with the Cliven Bundy incident, nobody went to jail. There was no congressional hearing, January 6th style hearing. People going to prison. There's no property damage, Nevada. Not a shot was fired. Eventually, you have to draw the line. We go through these sad episodes where fanaticism has to be brought under legal control. Why? It's protest. What do you mean under legal control? And inevitably, somebody gets killed, he said. Well, it didn't happen in Nevada. Actually, the only person who got killed in the January 6th breach of the Capitol was that Air Force veteran. Her name escapes me. Do you know who I'm talking about? Shot by a federal agent. She was unarmed. It's all on video. She didn't present a threat to any but the officers. All of a sudden, an officer peeks through a door and shoots her. It's amazing. But see, the government doesn't want to have to do that because it's not going to look good on the world stage, and the world's going to cover it. If they get too heavy-handed, like government did during the civil rights movement, it's not only going to turn off American people, but it's going to turn off the world. Look what the American government is doing to their own people. The government has to be worried about that. So that's why I said when you organize these things, there's no need to get violent, but let them know you're staying. As long as you're in a public space, you know, someone might do something stupid from the government and say, well, we're going to get these people out of here. Well, why? They're not bothering anybody. Well, you know, they're on a public space. The public's allowed to go here around the Capitol. And they just said they're not leaving. Really, all the government can do is wait you out. You have to have more determination than they do. So that's the model. It can be done, but remember, those important aspects of this, well thought out, well organized, and serious. Every movement should have a leader who's giving direction, keeping people in line, the bullhorn, let people give speeches, chants, you know. All that stuff's effective. Wear the government down. But, you know, like I said, don't count on the Republican political class. Don't do that. That is a waste of time. They're not reliable. Thanks for joining me.
When you talk about race, crime, and politics, some folks lose sleep over this, but not me, because I sleep just fine on my Giza Dream Sheets and Pillow from MyPillow, especially this new 2.0. If you haven't gotten yours yet, you are missing out. Just go to MyPillow.com and use promo code Clark, that's C-L-A-R-K-E, and save up to 66% off. The direct link is also available on my website, AmericaSheriff.com. Get a great night's sleep so we can continue the fight. Friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's episode of Straight Talk with yours truly, America Sheriff David Clark. And a special thank you also goes out to our sponsors. My goal, as always, is to break down these complex and many times controversial issues and bring it to you straight with a little dose of common sense, no media bias, no talking points, just truth. And this podcast would not be possible without your support. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And if you did, please leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite place to listen. And please share this message of common sense on social media. For more content, be sure to follow me on Truth Social, Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And just a reminder, we'd love for you to join our Straight Shooters VIP podcast club for only $5 per month. And with that membership, you'll receive invitations to attend private podcast events throughout the year as a VIP guest when we come to your town. Plus, if you join today, you'll also receive a free coffee mug and a sample of our private label coffee, as long as supplies last. Subscribe and join at AmericaSheriff.com. This podcast is brought to you by AmericaSheriff.com with executive producer Judy Wilkinson of JL Wilkinson Consulting and producer Josh Wentz in partnership with our friends at Bulldog Media. If you are interested in partnering with Straight Talk Podcasts or having me speak in your area, please contact Judy at jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com, 706-518-2116. That's jlwilkinsonconsulting@gmail.com. Phone number 706-518-2116.